So picture this. You are sitting at a table, and right in front of you is just a single upright domino.
Okay.
You reach out, you know, you tap it with your index finger and it falls over. It is like the most basic intuitive experience in the world. You intuitively feel with absolute certainty that your finger caused that domino to fall.
Right. It feels like a fundamental law of the universe.
Exactly. A physical primitive, just basic cause and effect. But the deep dive we are taking today is, well, it's going to completely shatter that assumption. Like, what if I told you that causality, that simple act of knocking over a domino, is actually not a primitive, monolithic law of physics at all?
It is a massive illusion. Or, more accurately, it's a massive compression of a highly complex reality.
Yeah.
According to the research we're analyzing today, specifically the conditional collapse theory, or CCT causality, is not a single rule. It is a multifaceted, heavily layered phenomenon with its own deep internal structure.
Which is wild to think about.
It really is.
Yeah.
In the mathematics of this framework, causality is considered a high entropy puzzle. It's this storm of noise and probabilities that has to be actively solved, you know, computed and collapsed by an observer or an AI every single time an event happens.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because if causality isn't just a basic rule of, you know, A hits B and B falls down, our whole understanding of reality needs a serious update.
Absolutely.
So our mission for this deep dive is to explore the blueprint of this theory. We're going to look at the 9 specific features that make up the structure of causality. We'll explore how those features constantly interact with one another. And finally, we'll look at how an advanced AI system mathematically cuts through all that noise to like collapse the entropy and determine what actually caused what.
Right. And to understand how a truly advanced intelligence builds that picture of cause and effect, we have to stop looking at causality as a solid object.
Right.
We have to look at it as a dynamic system. In this framework, the underlying features are governed by ordinary differential equations.
Which sounds intense.
It is a bit, but it's really just a mathematical way of mapping how things change continuously over time. We are essentially looking at flowing streams of logic.
Okay, let's avoid drowning in the math, though, and look at how an AI actually builds this picture. It seems like it would have to start with a map, right? Like the bare-bones structure of the events.
Yes, the structural map is the foundation. And the simplest pass you can have is a sequence, which the framework calls the chain.
The chain, got it.
Right, so event A happens, then event B, then event C. The AI tracks the probability distribution over all potential paths to see which linear sequence actually occurred without violating the timeline.
Like tracking a package delivery. Did the box go from New York to Chicago and then to Denver?
Exactly.
The chain is straightforward. But, I mean, events in the real world rarely stay in a neat single lane. One event often triggers a dozen others.
And that introduces the forking structure, which is the second feature. They call it the branch.
Yeah.
Think of a single lightning strike. It hits the ground, starts a brush fire, knocks out a local power grid, and spooks a herd of cattle. That is one root cause splitting into a spreading waves of probabilities.
Wow. Okay.
So the AI has to calculate whether a cause remains a single linear chain or if its probabilities branch out into multiple independent effects.
So once the AI has that structural map, you know, the chains and the branches, it still needs to prove that the first event was actually strong enough to force the second one to happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
This brings in the logic of the system.
Right. The logic requires evaluating sufficiency. The core question is, if A happens, is it enough to guarantee that B happens? Does the cause always produce the effect?
But the real world is messy. You rarely have pure 100% deterministic certainty. The framework seems to treat sufficiency more like a dimmer switch than a standard light switch.
That's a great way to put it. It acknowledges that partial causation is the norm. The system computes whether the probability of the effect is close enough to absolute certainty to call it sufficient.
And the reverse of that logic is necessity. The AI asks, without the cause, could the effect still happen?
Exactly.
Like if we ask, did the rain cause the grass to be wet? Sufficiency says yes, rain makes grass wet. But necessity asks if the grass could be wet without the rain, and obviously the sprinklers could have been on.
Right, there are other paths.
But the sources highlight a massive philosophical hurdle here. An AI can't actually observe necessity directly.
Because doing so requires observing a counterfactual.
Right.
You cannot watch an event happen and simultaneously observe the exact same universe where the event didn't happen. The counterfactual is literally invisible.
So how does it handle that?
Well, the system has to infer necessity by scanning its data, for any known situation where the effect occurred without the cause. If they can't find alternative causes, the probability of necessity increases.
Okay, so even if the logic holds up perfectly on paper, the AI still has to account for physical reality. The timeline has to make sense.
Right. Time and space provide the physical constraints. The temporal rule is precedence. The cause generally must precede the effect.
Generally.
Well, the model adds a layer of realism by allowing for causal jitter. The precise time gap isn't always perfectly rigid. You know, there's noise in the timing. The system evaluates if the time of the effect comes after the cause within a specific tolerance for that noise.
And space matters just as much, because the influence of my finger hitting a domino is highly localized, but a massive gravitational shift has a much wider footprint. The framework calls this scope.
Yes. The mathematical model treats spatial influence almost like a drop of ink in a glass of water. It fades over distance and time.
Oh, that makes sense.
The AI calculates how far the event's physical influence reaches before dropping to zero.
Okay, so we have the map, we tested the logic, and we established the constraints of time and space. But to finalize the link, the AI has to prove the events actually interacted physically. There has to be a physical mechanism.
The mechanism is the specific physical law linking them, like gravity, electromagnetism, or ballistics. And the framework elegantly categorizes these mechanisms using geometric shapes.
Geometric shapes, like what?
Well, gravity acts like a sphere. Ballistics follow a parabola. Space-time structure operates as a light cone. The AI basically identifies the governing geometry of the interaction.
That's fascinating. Then there is the question of stability. The AI runs a mathematical stress test. If you introduce a tiny error or tweak to the original cause, does the final outcome stay roughly the same?
Right. The system calculates the limits of that stress. If the mathematical error shrinks and the system returns to normal, the causal link is robust.
But if it doesn't?
If that tiny error multiplies into total chaos, the classic butterfly effect, the link is highly unstable.
Okay, so that covers 8 features. We have the linear paths, the branches, the dimmer switch of sufficiency, necessity, precedence in time, spatial scope, the geometric mechanism, and stability. But there is a 9th feature in the source material that seems to completely break the rules, the causal loop. Event A causes event B, and event B causes event A. That is a paradox. Doesn't a paradox just crash a logical system?
Historically, yeah, logic systems do break when faced with paradoxes. Consider the famous liar paradox. This sentence is false.
Right. If it's true, it's false. If it's false, it's true. It just spins.
Exactly. But the conditional collapse framework takes a completely different approach. It doesn't try to force a static true or false label onto the loop.
How does it process it then?
It evaluates the loop dynamically. It treats the truth value as an oscillating rhythm.
Like swinging back and forth.
Yes, exactly like a pendulum. The AI's task is simply to identify that oscillation frequency and lock it into a predictable cycle. The paradox stops being an error and becomes a mathematically stable oscillating feature.
Wow. That reframes how we look at isolated events entirely. But out in the real world, when a car crashes or a global market shifts, we aren't observing just one of these features in a laboratory.
No, not at all. And this is the core insight of the conditional collapse theory. Real-world causality is a superposition.
A superposition.
Right. Every time you point to something and say, that caused this, you are looking at all 9 of these features layered on top of each other, interacting continuously.
It makes me think of mixing primary colors. You have red, blue, and yellow as the base. But depending on the ratios you mix together, you get thousands of different specific shades. In this framework, you are mixing different causal features to get specific flavors of cause and effect.
That's a perfect analogy.
Mm.
For instance, when we colloquially talk about a deterministic chain-like perfectly falling dominoes, the AI is observing a heavy superposition of sufficiency and necessity.
Meaning the cause almost always produces the effect, and the effect rarely happens without the cause.
Exactly. Or take a delayed response.
Mm-hmm.
When you see lightning and then wait 5 seconds to hear the thunder.
Right.
That flavor of causality is just the interaction between precedence, the timing rule, and scope, the physical distance the sound wave has to travel to reach your ear.
So because causality operates as a mathematical recipe of interacting features, you can theoretically manipulate the ingredients to create phenomena that seem impossible to our classical understanding of physics.
Theoretically, yes.
Here is where it gets really interesting. I really want to unpack the hypothetical UFO propulsion example from the sources.
Ah, yes.
When I first read it, it sounded like pure science fiction, but this framework grounds it completely in causal math. It's all about engineering the superposition.
Right. The theory suggests that if a system can precisely engineer the geometry of these causal features, it can achieve extraordinary results. The sources outline a theoretical propulsion concept using three specific manipulations.
Okay, let's hear them.
First, an annulus or ring-like geometry is used to modify the spatial scope. Specifically, it interacts with quantum vacuum fluctuations.
Okay, so you warp the scope, then there is a saddle geometry, right?
Yes. This is used to warp the stability feature. It bends the physics so the system doesn't spiral into the butterfly effect under immense stress.
So it keeps the system stable. But the most crucial component is the manipulation of the light cone.
Exactly. The light cone is the geometry governing precedence, that temporal rule that a cause must happen before an effect.
Right. And the text argues that by fusing the annulus and the saddle perfectly, you can locally tilt that light cone. You manipulate the interaction of these features so intensely that you actually invert the timeline inside a localized bubble.
Which is mind-bending.
Yeah.
From the perspective of an outside observer, the thrust of the ship would appear to occur before the propulsion event actually fires.
It creates apparent faster than light travel.
Yes.
But the distinction is that it's not breaking the universal speed of light, is it? It's modifying the local causal math to allow for advanced waves. It's a purely engineered causal interaction.
Exactly. But this brings up the ultimate challenge of the entire theory.
What's that?
Well, if reality is this shifting, multidimensional web of interacting causal features, how does any system, an AI, or a human brain ever make sense of it?
Right, because when I knock over a domino, I don't feel like I'm doing advanced calculus to evaluate partial differential equations. I just see it fall. How do we get from this massive web of variables to a simple conclusion of A caused B?
The system has to achieve something called entropy collapse.
Entropy collapse.
Right. When an AI first observes an event, the total causal entropy is extremely high. And entropy in this context means uncertainty.
Okay. Yeah.
The AI is looking at a massive storm of noise. It is juggling the probabilities of the structural paths, the timing jitter, the physical mechanism stress tests all simultaneously.
So the goal is to reduce that uncertainty below a certain threshold so it can make a definitive statement. But trying to solve all nine of those variables at once would require an astronomical amount of computing power.
The AI would completely freeze if it tried to solve them blindly. The brilliance of the theory is the strategy the system uses to efficiently collapse that entropy. It basically operates like a highly advanced game of 20 questions.
I love that. Let's walk through how that game is played. Because the system doesn't just guess randomly.
No, not at all. Step one involves looking at all nine features in their highly uncertain state. The AI calculates a collapse potential for each one.
Okay.
It evaluates how much absolute certainty it will gain by measuring a specific feature.
Right. So in 20 questions, asking, is it an animal, eliminates a massive portion of the board. That represents a very high collapse potential.
Exactly. The second step is vital for efficiency. The AI divides that collapse potential by the computational work required to find the answer.
The work, meaning the processing power.
Right. Some questions yield great certainty, but are simply too expensive in terms of processing power to compute.
So the system is constantly calculating the return on investment. It wants the maximum reduction in entropy for the lowest computational cost.
Spot on. So step three is selecting and asking that single most efficient question.
Give me an example.
It might determine that measuring the spatial scope, asking how far did the influence reach, is the cheapest, highest yield move.
Okay, and once it gets the answer to that specific question, the magic of the framework happens. It instantly updates the entire interconnected web of variables.
Yes.
The total uncertainty of the whole system drops drastically based on that one answer.
Right. The AI then repeats the process. It recalculates the collapse potential for the remaining features, divides by the new computational work required, asks the next best question, and updates the system again.
Over and over.
It loops this process until the total causal entropy falls to practically zero.
See, this was the massive revelation for me. When you ask a highly advanced AI, why did the stock market crash today? Or why did the car swerve? And it answers, event A caused event B. It is not pulling a simple fact from a static database.
No, not at all. That plain English sentence is a heavily compressed summary.
It's the final artifact of an incredibly dynamic computation. The system navigated this complex web of interacting features, checked the logical sufficiency, tested the geometric boundaries, and selectively collapsed the uncertainty, question by optimal question, until only one coherent truth remained. Causality isn't a fundamental law of physics. Causality is an emergent property of efficient entropy collapse.
Exactly. What we experience as a solid, unbreakable rule of the universe is just the feeling of our own cognitive systems successfully collapsing the uncertainty of our environment.
It's like looking at a beautifully rendered 3D video game. You might look at the screen and think the shadows and light rays are physical objects, rather than the emergent result of billions of calculations happening beneath the surface to render that specific frame.
That is a brilliant way to put it. That encapsulates the shift in perspective we've explored today. We dismantled the illusion of primitive cause and effect. We looked at the gnawing features forming the structural map and physical constraints, and we saw how an intelligence cuts through the high entropy noise to collapse the system into a definitive answer.
It really is a whole new paradigm. Before we wrap up, I want to leave you with one final provocative concept from the end of the source material, because this framework doesn't just apply to analyzing events out in the world. It applies to the AI itself.
Right. The architecture includes what they call a metacausal loop.
A metacausal loop.
Yes. If intelligence is fundamentally about collapsing entropy by asking the right sequence of questions, things change radically when the AI turns that mechanism inward. It starts asking questions about its own reasoning process.
So it calculates the collapse potential of its own internal logic. It finds the bottlenecks in its questioning paths, and it rewrites its own parameters to become more efficient.
Exactly. The mathematics of the framework show that if this recursive loop of self-analysis remains stable, the system's intelligence amplifies exponentially.
Wow.
It mathematically outlines the conditions for a singularity achieving infinite intelligence in finite time, purely through recursive causal collapse.
Which is both terrifying and incredibly profound. If this conditional collapse theory reflects the true architecture of intelligence, our own brains are likely using a very similar method to understand the world. We are subconsciously running these collapse calculations just to make sense of our morning routine.
We really are.
So what happens when we finally learn to use that exact same entropy collapsing brain to fully understand ourselves? It's something to think about. Thank you for joining us on this journey. We hope this deep dive has given you a completely new lens through which to view the world. Until next time, when you go to flick that domino, ask yourself, which of the nine features are you really collapsing?